This is the Children's Home Hour, originating in Bristol, Tennessee. This is Brother Mike Nixon, and I'd like to welcome you to the broadcast today. We thank you for joining us and count it a privilege of ours to come into your place of listening. And I'd like to begin the broadcast with a word of prayer, so if you could, pray with us. Fathers, we bow before you. We come to you thanking you, Lord, for another new year you've given us. Thank you, Lord, for all that you've done in the past year. We ask you today that you'd continue just to have your will and your way in our hearts. And Lord, we pray today that you'd be high and lifted up as we head into this new year. God, give us fresh visions of heaven. Lord, everything that we need from you is what we desire. Lord God, and we ask you today, Father, to bless the listeners. Do for them as only you can. We'll thank you for that which you do in the name of Jesus. Amen. Brethren, let me make just a few quick announcements concerning the work that we're engaged in. Would like to ask you to continue to pray for our works, the children's homes we have, the one in Bristol, Tennessee, one in North India, one in South India, as well as one in Romania. And if you would continue to pray for the feeding centers in Romania and Bulgaria, where they feed the children daily, we truly could use some more support for that. Over the last few months, it's been down a little bit. I realize we come through the Christmas season and finances get tighter and things like that. But that doesn't stop these young kids and folks from getting hungry. And if it wasn't for folks that loved them and cared for them, they would go hungry every day. But for several years now, you've been able to take care of this, and we greatly appreciate it. But if you'd like to help us with this, I'll give you a mailing address here shortly. You can write us, and you can just put on your check, Feeding the Kids, and we'll understand what that is. And then if you would, remember our missionaries also in Romania and Bulgaria. This is a very busy time for them, as well as the ones in the Ukraine. I don't want to leave them out. Seems like they're back and forth right now due to the war. But if you would, please pray for them. But as I was beginning to say, it's a very busy time. There's no work or anything like that during the winter months over there. So there's more people that comes to the meetings and in the churches, and then what they try to give them the flour and oil each winter. We've been doing that for a little over 20 years now, I guess, and give each church family 110 pounds of flour and 5 liters of oil. And this really helps them during the winter months. And if you'd like to help in that, we'd greatly appreciate it also. It's just a blessing to them, a blessing to us. The Bible did say it's more blessed to give than to receive. I'm glad to be on the giving end instead on the needing end of that. And we really are blessed here, and the Lord has supplied our needs. We're so thankful, but we want to help those folks also. So if you'd like to help in any of this, if you'd just like to drop us a word of encouragement, we'd appreciate that. But you write us at Charity Baptist Mission, Post Office Box 692, Bristol, Tennessee, 37621. And then any other mail, that'd be Tri-State Baptist Children's Home, Post Office Box 888, Bristol, Tennessee, 37621. And at this time, we're going to go to the auditorium of the Brookside Baptist Church. We trust it'll be a blessing to you.
Luke chapter number 1. And I want to look here at the testimony of Mary. You read in verse number 28, and the angel came in unto her and said, "Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women." And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, "Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. And he shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end." Then said Mary unto the angel, "How shall this be, seeing I know not a man?" And the angel answered and said unto her, "The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. You know, that's how everybody gets saved. That's how everybody gets in. The Holy Ghost comes upon you. The power of the highest overshadows you. And that holy thing that's born in you is called the Son of God. You don't get it apart from that. It said in verse 36, and behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. Amen. For with God nothing shall be impossible. That's a pretty good note to end a year on. And that's an even better note to start a year on. That with God nothing shall be impossible. Thank God. We're faced with impossible things. We're faced with an impossible, but with God. Hey, without God, it's all impossible. Can I say this to you this morning? Without God, waking up's impossible. Without God, putting one foot in front of the other's impossible. That without God, getting here this morning was an impossibility. In Him we live and move and have our being. You draw breath because of God. You've got eyesight because of God. You've got everything that you have because of Him. And without Him, everything's impossible. But with Him, all things are possible. Thank the Lord. Amen. But with God, nothing shall be impossible. I like it. I like it. The Holy Ghost wrote it. You can't write it any better. Nothing. I like when he said nothing. It doesn't matter what you think. Nothing shall be impossible. It didn't say, listen, to put it a different way, nothing will be too hard. With God, it ain't... difficult. You've never had a request laid before Him that has taxed Him the least little bit. That you haven't expended His energy or His power or His might. With Him, nothing shall be impossible. Bring the most difficult. Bring that thing that is absolutely beyond the realms of human power or human and go beyond that. I like it. Go to the Red Sea. And they said, how are we going to cross? How are we going to get across here? This is a deep sea. Well, with God, nothing shall be impossible. What do you mean you're going to let us go around and protect us as we make the long trek? Well, I know I'll just open up a lane in the middle of the sea. I'll cause this water to stand up. I'll cause it to stand. He can do the impossible, thank God. With God, nothing shall be impossible. I like that. Nothing. Nothing at all. Think of the hardest soul, the hardest sinner, the biggest rebel, I mean the biggest enemy, but with God, nothing shall be impossible, thank the Lord. I suppose maybe they thought Saul of Tarsus, maybe half of them is praying, God, just kill him and get him out of the way. Maybe the other half is just asking God to send him on someplace else. But God said, I can do better than that. I can save that man, and I can take that enemy, and I can save him. I can do the impossible. That one that hates me, I can make him love me with all his heart. That one that's fought against me and opposed me, I can make him a preacher of the gospel and send him the whole world over to do my will. With God, nothing shall be impossible. Praise the Lord for that. I don't know if I'll get beyond that. That's pretty good. Amen. Nothing impossible. Nothing at all. Praise the Lord. Ain't nothing's restrained Him the least little bit. Well, I got some other good thoughts on my mind. Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. Now, God had just told her something impossible. God had just said, she said, I'm not married. I've never known a man. How am I going to have a child? He said, the power of the Holy Ghost shall come upon you, and the power of the high shall overshadow thee. And she said, whatever you want to, God, you can do the impossible. Here I am. Be it unto me according to thy word. I don't know how you're going to do it, but that ain't my business to know how. My business just to believe you and say, here I am, oh Lord. It ain't my business to figure it out. How you going to figure out what he just said anyway? I mean, how are you going to comprehend the Holy Ghost coming upon you and the power of the highest overshadowing you? How can you comprehend those things that are beyond biological science, that's outside the realm of our understanding? But just like Abraham, her forefather, she didn't stagger at the promise of God. She said, "Be it unto me according to thy word." Here I am. You just do what you want to do. And I suppose that's all the Lord's asking. You don't have to understand it. You just have to say, "Here I am." You don't have to figure it out. You just say, "Let it be, O Lord, according to thy word." Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste, into a city of Judah, and entered into the house of Zechariah and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. Just at the presence of Jesus. Look what he was doing, and he wasn't even born yet. I mean, he wasn't even manifest yet. I don't know. You know, when they get with child, they get their little thing, and they every so many weeks they tell you how big a child is. They say today it's an apple or a grape or whatever, and the child gets. I don't know what size he was in the womb, but it was big enough to where when he got there, things got tore up, thank God. When he showed up and she just said, "Howdy, Elizabeth," my Lord, heaven came down and power fell in that place and tongues were loosed. And I mean, they had a Holy Ghost meeting right there. And John wasn't born and Jesus wasn't born, but there they were in the womb. Don't you tell me that a child's not a child while it's in the womb. I mean, there was John and there was Jesus both in the womb, but heaven came down as enough for the Lord. Amen. And it came to pass when she heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth, that little babe, that little whatever stage he was, 6 months ahead of the Lord Jesus, but he said he's here. He's here. I can't see him because I'm in here, but I can sure feel him. He's here. His presence is here. And she spake out with a loud voice and said, "Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" Oh, Lord, she knew the Lord's already there. My Lord has come here. Well, where is he? He's in that womb. Christ in you, thank God. My Lord is here. Hey, we come here this morning and you've got Christ in you and the Lord is here, thank God. That ought to help you. Doesn't matter where you go, you've got Christ in you. My Lord is in you. He's with you, thank God. I like it. Two folks get together. Doesn't matter where we meet. Two of us meet out on the road someplace up at the store, get to talking about the Lord, and things get to leaping in your heart. I mean, your Lord's come unto me, thank God, and I get excited about it. Brother Sam used to have just as good meetings over at the breakfast table over there as he did at church. Sometimes they'd call on him, I mean, a straggling handful sitting around there waiting to eat their lunch. And they'd say, "Brother Sam, say, would you ask a blessing?" And just a few minutes, he's gone. Hallelujah. I mean, there wasn't no room to eat or whatever. He'd come out shouting, praising God. Why? The Lord had come, thank God. He was there. Said the mother of my Lord has come unto me. Verse 44, "For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. Blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things that were told her from the Lord." Now he told her nothing shall be impossible, and she believed him. Amen. The angel said, "Nothing shall be impossible." That's what he said. Look at it again. "For with God, nothing shall be impossible." And she believed him. All right, nothing will be impossible. And she got down to Elizabeth's house. I don't know how long the time had elapsed, but Elizabeth reminded her by the Holy Ghost, blessed is she that believed. For there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. Thank God. Mary, praise God, you believed, and God's going to do the impossible. Amen. Mary said, my soul doth magnify the Lord. I reckon when somebody says, hey, God's going to do what you believed him to do, I don't suppose you can help but testify. She said, my soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. For he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. I like to think about this here. Mary said he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. And aren't you glad when the Lord regarded your low estate? We sing, it is well with my soul. And that verse in there, Christ hath regarded my sinful estate. Christ hath regarded, he took knowledge of me, and he regarded my low estate, and he decided to do something about my low estate, thank God. He hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden, and from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. One day the Lord took knowledge of us and took knowledge of you in your low estate and did something about it, thank God. And from that point on, all generations will call you blessed. Your name got, we sang it already, your name got written in the Lamb's book of life, and for all eternity, hey, one of these days the nations are going to parade around through there, and you folks that suffered and had such a low estate here, your names will be emblazoned there, and all generations will call you blessed and say, look what the Lord did for that soul. Thank God. Sometimes down here we get it, we want to strive to be somebody or something down here. But one of these days all generations will call you blessed. Verse 49 is where I wanted to get to. And he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. He that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. I was thinking about that earlier in the week, he that is mighty. You know, I got to thinking about that, and we can't comprehend his power or his might. His strength is beyond our comprehension. We comprehend things in comparison to other things. You know, that's how we reference them, and we compare them and get a sense of them. But there's nobody to compare to him. There's nobody as mighty as he is. There's not a soul that can touch him in terms of power. We can't even compare it. Paul talked about over there that though he was rich, and we've got nobody as rich as he is. We talk about riches, and people talk about Bezos and Warren Buffett or Bill Gates and talk about this one and that one, but they can't even compare to him. I mean, he is rich beyond compare. He is mighty beyond our understanding. Hey, he is so powerful that all he has to do is speak and it happens. He stepped out and said, let there be light. And light came into existence. Light, I don't know how, he just said it and there it was. He spoke for what? He spoke for firmament. And firmament, he is so powerful that what he says must happen. What he says must, it can't be stopped or it can't be resisted. It has to happen that way. When Jesus was here, what he said had to happen. It could not, didn't matter what the devil did, it had to take place like he said. That's how powerful he is. His word cannot be broken. When they told them fellas get in the ship and go to the other side, do you know what had to happen? That ship had to arrive at the other side. It didn't matter that it was full of water. It didn't matter how high the storm got. It didn't matter how many waves crashed over the deck of it. He pronounced announced it, and it was so, thank God. Nothing could resist it. Nothing could stop it. Didn't matter what the devil had to say about it. He had no ability there. He had no power. Matter of fact, everything he did was turned around to fulfill God's word instead of hindering it. That's how mighty he is. But we can't comprehend somebody with that kind of power. And so Paul put it to us this way in 1 Corinthians. He said, the weakness of God. And we can't comprehend strength, but we might be able to comprehend weakness a little bit. He talked about the weakness of God, but then he said the weakness of God is stronger than men. You see, when Jesus came here, he didn't come here in might or in power. He came here in weakness. Hey, look, I'm talking about a baby in the womb, and when he showed up, I mean, things happened. When his presence arrived, people got filled with the Holy Ghost, and babes leapt, and testimony sprang forth, and joy came in again. I'm talking about the picture of weakness, that infant, and people in a far distant land left everything to come and worship him in weakness. Look what all he did. And the entirety of his ministry was in weakness. The entirety of it wasn't in demonstrations of strength, but was in demonstrations of weakness. Matter of fact, he got out there 40 days and 40 nights to make an even playing field with the devil. 40 days. He said, I'll tell you what I'll do. He said, you want to fight? He said, I won't eat anything for 40 days. And I won't drink anything for 40 days. And then let's meet together and see what happens. And he got as absolutely weak as his beyond possibility. I mean, nobody, how in the world could that physical body withstand it? You try not eating or drinking for 40 days and 40 nights. Now, I mean, see if your physical body, but see, he had something inside a physical body that he couldn't die. I mean, he couldn't die. I mean, if you'd attacked on another 40 years, he'd have still been there because he was God in the flesh, thank the Lord. He couldn't die, thank God. 40 days and 40 nights, and the devil came out there against him, and he defeated him, thank God. I mean, through weakness, just the devil couldn't touch him at his weakest. At his weakest, he was able to step out on a stormy sea, thank God. That wasn't a demonstration of his power. He's able to do that in weakness and in meekness. Oh, thank God, the weakness of God. But he that is mighty hath done to me great things. He saved you when he was weak. Remember, I mean, if the 40 days and 40 nights was an example, what about the cross the last meal he had partaken of with his disciples? And Brother Jimmy's talking about it this morning. Then he went out in that Garden of Gethsemane and under such a strain that he sweat, as it were, great drops of blood. And they couldn't watch with him 1 hour. I don't fault the disciples. They couldn't have watched with him anyway. That's too big for them. That's too heavy for them. They couldn't enter into those things. Their flesh was weak. It could not enter in. I mean, they failed in the flesh, but that's all right. He succeeded where they failed, thank God. And the disciples, those closest to him, couldn't do it. So he said, I'll do it all by myself, thank God. I don't need you. I'll just man this thing up by myself and take care of it. And then they came and took him down there to the judgment hall and abused him all night long, thrashed him and plucked out his beard and sent him off this place to that. So much so that come morning time, when Pilate had made his final pronouncement, they didn't think he would be strong enough even to make it up the hill to Calvary. And they compelled one Simon. They said, you're going to have to bear his cross. This man probably won't make it up there as much as we've done to him. And they got old Simon. And I like the gospel accounts there. They got Simon. And they said, you carry his cross. And the first three Gospels talk about Simon, talk about he's a country boy, come out of the country, probably big and strong, got two boys with him. He tried to hoist that cross up, maybe got a few steps underneath it, and he couldn't bear it because that wasn't his cross to carry. Simon didn't carry that cross. You come over there to the book of John, and it says, and he bearing his cross. I mean, some point Simon stumbled underneath that load. He said, it's too heavy for me. And he's probably ashamed of himself. Big strapping Simon, able to work and able to carry and able to do this, but he couldn't carry that load. And the Lord Jesus in his weakness said, this isn't yours to carry. You ain't able to bear this. It's too big for you. This got the sins of the world on it. But he said, watch me pick it up. And he stooped down there. Glory be to God. Stooped down there, bloodied and beaten, and picked that cross up, and he shouldered it, thank God, and he didn't falter, and he didn't stagger, but he carried it all the way up to Calvary's hill. When he got up there, he laid it down, and he stretched out himself upon, then nobody had to wrestle him. There wasn't Roman soldiers that had to hold him down. I suppose he laid the cross down, and then laid himself upon it, thank God, and said, here I am, my Father, here I am to do thy will, thank God. And in weakness, he let him nail him there. He let them nail him there. Oh, my Lord, he told him there, right before that began to take place, he said, Simon Peter said, let's fight this out, Lord, we can do it. Drew a sword and drew blood, and the Lord said, hey, don't you realize? He said, with one breath, I can call legions of angels. We can come wipe this. I don't need help. I don't need your help. He didn't even need the angels' help. He could have spoke one word and all of everything would have been abolished. He said, I'm doing this for you. Laid out on that cross and they nailed him there. No cry of anguish for his pain. He never cried out in pain. He never cried out because of the seven times he uttered from the cross, and never one of them was, I'm hurting. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Charles Spurgeon said, just to let the devil know how impotent he was in that hour, right in the middle of it all, he called pause and had a business meeting. Right in the middle of it all, he said, John, look over there at your mother. You take care of her. Spurgeon said, that just let the devil know that no matter what he's doing, he wasn't in charge there. And he wasn't doing anything. He wasn't afflicting no, I mean, he wasn't, it was all in his hand. Right in the middle of it all, the strangest cry from the cross was that business meeting. Take care of my mother. Take care of this woman here that believed God. As I'm dying and as I'm about to draw my last breath, take care of this woman that 33 and a half years ago or 32 year and a half years ago believed God when God came to her. You look after her, John. Praise the Lord. And then he cried out from the cross, it is finished. But he that is mighty hath done to me great things.
Well, I trust you've enjoyed the message. And once again, write us at Tri-State Baptist Children's Home, Post Office Box 888, Bristol, Tennessee, 37621, or at Charity Baptist Mission, Post Office Box 692, Bristol, Tennessee, 37621. And until next week, God bless you.